Welcome to Yip Podcast. This is Mary.
And this is Tammy.
Yip. And today on the show, we are going to feature an interview that was taken with Mira Betts by the Alchemy Girls in early October when they hosted her for a workshop.
Yip, yip.
Really excited. We've already listened to it, of course. And it's very entertaining, especially the end bit. Dun, dun, dun.
You will have to listen to the end.
Don't fast forward. That's cheating.
Yes. Yes, that would be cheating.
You have to be careful with our listeners. Cheaters.
Wow.
I know.
You just totally called them out as cheaters. Rude.
I don't know. It was a little. I apologize. I hope we can still be friends. Also, on this episode, we are going to have another brief chat with Abby, who's called in before. She went to a Rachel Bryce workshop a few weeks ago, and she did a little review of it with us, and also has some audio on her blog, which we are also going to tell you about.
But yeah, so she called in and gave us some info on how the workshop went, and I think the audio that she has up on her blog, I believe, is all about costuming, and she spoke to Rachel Bryce about costuming, so very interesting stuff.
Because Rachel Bryce has cool costumes.
For real.
I know, right?
Oh, I just watched a video the other day of like an old clip of Jill Parker and Ultra Gypsy and Rachel Bryce before she had like all of her tattoos. So it was neat. And it was such a good clip. I think we should link it up or something because it was really good video. Just old school. They did not ATS, but they did a lot more tribal based, more than fusion in their number. But it was a really good video and just, I don't know, made me think of it just because I watched it recently and now we're talking about Rachel Bryce. Anyway,
I watched a video recently.
Awesome.
Thanks for that very delayed awesome, Tammy. Did you have to reach into vocabulary? What? If you don't think it's awesome, just say that's not awesome,
Well,
Mary.
You know what? Maybe it's not. What video did you watch, Mary?
Can I tell you it wasn't very awesome?
Well, there you go.
Guess
there
where?
There you go.
Because it was on the Armoire Awards tribe.
Which video was it? I haven't even been there in a while.
Neither,
there's 20 posts.
I checked back in, and the title started with crotch plus tassel, and it was this group of people dancing, and like four or five of them had snakes.
I've seen it.
And it was horrible. I don't get dancing with snakes because it's like dancing with any kind of pet. And if you substitute in like bunny rabbit for snake, suddenly no one wants to see that. You know what I mean? It's like the snakes are just sort of curling up. I mean, maybe there's snakes out there who are better showmans, show snakes, show persons. Show animals, show beings.
I think it's just like something for the audience, like an additional ooh, ah factor.
Yeah, but it's not the ooh and ah. It's like these girls were doing like nothing.
Oh, no, not these girls. I'm just saying in general, dancing with snakes.
Well, if you guys know any good belly dance plus snake dancing videos, email them to us because I haven't seen any. And right now, I'm in serious doubt that there are any. Snap. I like snakes, though. I used to have two ball pythons.
Oh, why are you hating on the belly dancing snake people? Jeez Louise.
Anyway, so one of the reasons, as well as it being a horrible routine, they're just sort of writing that it was on the Armoire Awards, was that the costume was like horrible.
Oh my gosh.
One of the girls had this bra on that had like a big eye on each boob. And there's a woman who was standing up who had like this mask right at the front of her belt, like this big mask. So it hung like all the way over her, you know. Girly
JJ.
Bits. Hey, oh, a couple of quick things. I went on Belly Dance Instructors Tribe, and they're asking for book recommendations, and I saw one of the girls in there, Wildflower, mentions on Baca's book, which you talked about a little while ago.
Yes, which I am close to finishing, so we will do a review shortly. Not this episode, but just shortly.
Not like 5 minutes shortly, like later on. In time, shortly.
Exactly. We've got a couple things we got to review.
Significant look. Yes. Yes, we do. And as normal, I am holding up the entire production. Is that what you wanted me to say, Tammy? Is that what you wanted me to say?
I didn't say that.
Oh, also, on the Fat Chance Belly Dance Tribe, Volume 8... which includes floor work and some other things, is going to be coming out really soon in December.
I'm so excited. I so want to learn. Well, you know, Mary, but I want to so learn floor work with ATS.
I know. That's why, I mean, both of us are psyched because we're going to be taking the floor work workshop at Cues and Tattoos in March.
I'm so excited. I just did like a Snoopy
happy
dance.
That was the happiest dance I've ever seen in a chair in the past 5 minutes.
That was inappropriate.
You have a dirty mind.
Whatever.
Okay. Also, a couple weeks ago, we posted an episode where we talked about how awesome we were. And one of the feedbacks was from this, you know, perhaps British guy. Well, turns out he is from the UK. He sent us an email. Thank you, Mark. So he made a horrible mistake. He sent us a little audio clip because I mentioned I didn't know what Spice Girl he sounded like. Apparently, he didn't want to be Baby Spice. Understandable. So he sent us a little audio clip, and at the end, he's like, P.S. If you ever need, you know, a British voice for Shimmy Cove, let me know. Wink. And I'm like, oh, no.
That was it. Yeah, I seen yeah. that, and I was like, oh, yeah. I'll let Mary answer that one.
So I emailed back Mark and was like, it'd be awesome if you'd let us your voice. And I was so excited, and it was kind of late when I read it back. So I was like, yeah, and do you want to be good or evil? And incidentally, if you'd ask your wife if she read Monty, that would be awesome. Like, exclamation point.
Because if you ever email Mary or myself, you will notice we have a lot of exclamation points. If you even join our newsletter, I use a lot of exclamation points.
We don't skimp on the punctuation. You know why? Because life is too short.
Exactly. So, yeah, so you ask them.
Right. And then I didn't hear from him for like a couple of days, and I was like, oh.
Wah, wah.
But then he emailed back and said, oh, I didn't really expect to be taken up on it, but okay, we're game. Sorry. That'll teach you to make casual remarks. Anyone else who has a legitimate accent, yeah. If you don't want to be on Shimmy Cove, don't drop things like casual remarks.
And an audio clip.
I know, right? Once we knew that he could speak and was actually British, like a computer. Recordery thing, yeah. It was all over.
A recordery thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. I played the clip for Dan, and for whatever reason, I don't know if there's like a setting or something I need to change, but on iTunes, my songs literally like run into each other. There's not like a stop.
Right,
and
it's
then
like
the
a
next
fade thing, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever watched the cartoon, The Boondocks. It's based on the comic strip. Anyway, I really like their intro music. So I found it online somewhere and I got their intro music in. So it's like this, like kind of like hip hoppy, like real smooth hip hoppy. he like ends this thing as this music's coming on and Dan's like, whoa, he edited that nice.
Hey there, Mary and Tammy. It's Mark, your English gentleman fan. I don't get called that often, so I'm going to take advantage while I can. As some debate what my accent would be like, I thought I'd send a message so you know. Hope it's not like the Spice Girls. Keep up the great work. Yep!
Big ups to my man Aaron Magruder.
Nice outro, Mark. Nice.
Yeah, I'm really excited that Mark and Michelle agreed to help us out. It's very nice. Especially Michelle, who I've never exchanged correspondence with, and I think is being extremely good sport.
Brothers, man, if you haven't already, check me out on MySpace, myspace.com/asheru1. Check out my topic.
So I was on the higher standards of belly dance. Higher standards in belly dance tribe.
Okay.
There was a thread about body tipping. Like when you, it's like cow tipping. It's when the belly dancer falls asleep and you push them over and then you run. I joke. That's not really what it is. It's an interesting conversation because when I very first got started, I wasn't sure how to handle someone waving a tip at me. And like now as tribal, both of us started as cabaret. There was like, you know, maybe some hair and pants and a scarf. And now tribal, if you've got less than like 43 layers, then you're such a sissy, you know? put my belt
you
on.
You gotta work out just to be able to wear all the costumes.
Well, you know, then you have like, you know, if you have like your big skirt and you got your pantaloons and then you maybe have an overskirt or three and like maybe a scarf and then you have, you know, a big heavy belt with a coochie belt sewn to it and like you gotta tie it really tight so nothing shifts while you're dancing, especially if you like tuck your skirt in a cute way or something.
You got a chole, you got a bra, you got a vest.
I'm just saying there's no room to tuck anything in the hips. Because yeah. That sucker is on solid.
Yeah, and if you do, then that side of the skirt falls out.
Oh, exactly.
It's painful.
You know. Well, like some of the more beginning or intermediate cabaret costumes are just like a skirt with like the beads sort of on it already. So it's got some flex. Well, so they were talking about, you know, if you accept body tipping, where do you have them put the tip? And I usually have them hand it to me. And then I put it like at the very top of my bra strap.
Yeah, like over your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm not going to have anybody touching me, tucking things anywhere. I don't care if it's money. I'm
dirty,
broke.
Dirty, dirty money.
I know. Money is dirty. It's got germs. So do keyboards. I carry hand sanitizer everywhere. And because I'm around kids a lot, all they do is sneeze in their hands and then hug you. Ugh.
Gross.
I know, right? Anyway, some people were like, oh, I only accept tips in the belt, which seems strange to me. But yeah, I guess just because
it's too close to some other things, yeah, I don't want them. I mean, I guess like if you are focusing a lot on your belly and on your hips, mm-hmm. So I guess that's where people are going to look anyway. And so if you have money hanging out, then they might be more apt to give you more. I'm not sure.
I just think it's weird. I mean, I like the tip jar thing. Put a tip jar somewhere at the front, and that's cool. I don't mind taking tips while I'm dancing, but I don't want anyone touching me. They can put it in my hand, and I'll tuck it somewhere. Oh, I saw this one, like, oh, maybe 4 years ago. This little girl was dancing at a restaurant. And at the very end of her set, apparently, it was her boyfriend. So, whatever. But he comes up and tucks his dollar bill right in the middle of her cleavage. And she's like, giggling. Oh, dear God. 99.9% of the people in this restaurant do not know that's your boyfriend. So tacky.
I wouldn't even let my boyfriend do that.
Ew. Seriously. Anyway, so... interesting body tipping conversation going on there on the Higher Standards and Belly Dance Tribe.
Well, I'd like to direct you to the Shira.net tribe.
Ooh, what did I miss?
I don't know if you missed it or whatnot, but the Let Dolphina Give You an Underwear Makeover.
Oh, I missed it. What is going on?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So Shira posted a link to a video that Dolphina does. And you know, she's all about the goddess dance and everything. And I am very happy. Dolphina has a place in the belly dance community. And she has like been instructor to various celebrities, so on and so forth. And she's very much about...
dolphins?
That. But she's very...
Aquariums?
Oh my gosh.
Mermaids?
Stop it!
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are you ready for me now?
I'm done. I got it out of my system.
Okay. So she's very much about women empowering themselves and having confidence and all that wonderful stuff. So she has a video about some girl, some random person who she's doing an underwear makeover for. So she shows, like, pulls out of this bag all this underwear that this girl has and why it's bad.
And I don't even
know
what to say.
Into why some of them are bad. But basically, the whole point is they're unsexy and you should wear sexy underwear to feel better about yourself and so on and so forth. So it's this whole thread of people talking about let Dolphina give you an underwear makeover. It's I could not stop watching the video. I couldn't stop it. I just let it run the whole time because I was so like in shock over some of the things she had said. And then from there, I ended up on... another link of hers that was how to make a cupcake martini, which she says is her invention, but I don't think it is. I think they actually sell cupcake martinis places, but I don't know. Maybe they took the idea from Dolphina.
Probably
I'm not sure.
Did. Probably stole it.
Exactly.
It's a shame. It's a shame.
But yeah, you you should all check out Let Dolphina Give You an Underwear Makeover because it is so funny.
Check it out.
But beside Tribe, I was reading Shay Moore's blog, Adventures of a Tribal Dancer, and one of her recent posts was on the importance of chorus. So I just thought it was an interesting topic. She says she actually thought about it because she was perusing some old tribe topics, and she called tribe, she says it's the archive of evolution of tribal belly dance. That's what she thinks tribe is. Because you can go back many years on tribe and see like these dancers' thoughts on tribal belly
That's
dance
true.
From there,
yeah.
You know, all the way back to 2004. So
excavating all the way back to 2004. You know, things change fast.
I did like that. Tribe is like an archive of the evolution of tribal belly dance. So it's very cool. But anyway, so her thought on the importance of chorus was bringing up points about like some people who get into ATS, they're not excited to be in the chorus. They're used to being a soloist or even performing as a duet and being so center stage that they don't even want to be part of the chorus. She discusses on her blog two people's viewpoints. Both of them are pro-chorus points. And I just thought it was odd. I guess for me, learning ATS, I learned it as a chorus and lead and follow type deal. So I just never even assumed like, oh, I'm always going to be in the center. I don't always want to be in the center.
That seems really strange. I had done solos before I started doing improv tribal, and I felt very comfortable doing solos. But once I started learning improv tribal, I felt very comfortable not having to lead. You know, I was like, oh, you know, you'd get up there. If you do ATS, everyone I'm sure has been through the same stage of, I know about five moves, but when I get to lead, I can only remember one of them. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know how to switch and I can't get out of the lead. And then I panic and I cry a little bit and I think I'm never going to get it. And then I hide in the chorus. I'm like, thank God for the chorus. That's how I was for like months, you know.
All of us wanted to be in the chorus. I remember we were all like,
I know,
oh, we got to get out there. Someone's got to get out there. Oh.
I mean, now I love going into the middle, but I love being in the chorus too and just enjoying the people who are in the middle. I think that strikes me as very odd that some people would be like, I just don't like the chorus.
Well, and like one of the other girls was saying, you know, you spend 80% of your performance in the chorus. You should learn to love that and embrace it and make the best of it. I mean, to me, the chorus is such a great backdrop for the dancers. They really can make or break the number, in my opinion. I've seen choruses that, for instance, do something so outrageous that it takes away from the center dancers.
Exactly.
And that's not good. That's not good. It makes the audience look like you're trying to fight for lead. And nobody wants to see a fight. Well, sorry, I take
okay,
that
you know, that's so I not true.
But it makes the audience uncomfortable, is basically what I'm saying. Because
or confused at the very least.
Yeah. To me, it's like the chorus can be such a perfect compliment. You know, it can be very creative in the chorus. When you see someone going for a combo, for instance, and you know there are certain pops in that combo, you can change the chorus to add to that, you know, pop. You can make it so that way everyone's all of a sudden doing the same move at the same time and it becomes this big group of dancers, and then ease back and let the center take it again. I just think that's such an easy way to be creative and be in the chorus and, you know, still feel part of the whole movement.
These are gems. Gems you're giving us, Tammy.
Why, thank you.
Oh, hey. Oh, so the other day, a friend sent me a link to the book by Natalie from Miami.
Oh, you mean the girl who... She puts on the Miami
Belly
Dance
She puts
Convention.
On the Miami Belly Dance Convention.
Yes. Wow, that was really loud. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So, very talented dancer. You should see this page she has about her ebook. Her book is supposed to contain a lot of secrets that will put you at the top of the belly dance game without ever going to another lesson.
Wow.
So, I'm going to go buy it. And when I'm famous, I'll try to remember you, Tammy.
I would appreciate it. I've done a lot for you.
I guess.
Providing equipment. Okay, that was Dan. So what? I've given you dinner every once in a while.
That's true.
So, hey, Mary.
Yeah.
Do you got some music for us tonight?
Yes. Okay. Our first music spotlight is on the CD Music of the Gwazi. It's one of the Aisha Ali field recordings. She made it in Upper Egypt like almost 20 years ago. Can I tell you something, Tammy?
What?
I looked up this CD everywhere, and every synopsis I found said, made almost 20 years ago in Egypt. No one knows when this CD came out. I mean, I assume it wasn't a CD at the time. So if you know the magic year that this album came out, holla back. I'm just curious. Everyone just goes, almost 20 years ago. But if they wrote the synopsis like 5 years ago, then they're lying to me. Anyway, the CD is fun. And the three tracks we're going to hear are Kali Alwada by the Abu Karaj Mizmar Group, The Stick Dance, which is my favorite. It's this very like flirty little melody, and it speeds up a little bit going on, but mainly it's a nice mid-tempo song by the Thebes Ensemble. And then the third song is Gazia Dance, and that's also by the Abu Karaj Mizmar Group. The first and the third ones are like insane fast. The first one I think you could do ATS to, but the third one you would have to be like half Bollywood. Because those Bollywood people can dance super fast. Bollywood dances, they're insane. And they smile the whole time and mouth the words. They're so energetic. But the third one is insane. If I had to dance to it, which I wouldn't mind because it's a lovely song, but if I were to dance to it, I would probably do something more folkloric and not improv, because it's crazy fast. And with that, here we go.
Dance one too, because you're right, the last one was really, really fast.
Let's talk to Abby first about the Rachel Bryce workshop.
Yeah, and I just want to let everybody know her website is www.bellyartistcafe.net. But yeah, so she's got the link up of Rachel Bryce talking about costuming up on her website. Hey, Abby, what's going on? This is your podcast, by the way. Hey.
Oh, hey. I wanted to tell you guys about the Rachel Bryce workshop I went to.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You were going to call and tell us about Rachel Bryce. And not only are you going to tell us about your workshop, but you interviewed Rachel Bryce, correct?
Yes, I did.
About costuming, and that'll be linked up on your website, costume blog. Okay, so tell us, how was the workshop?
It was awesome. It was about choreography, and it was 2 days. The first, I think, Saturday was an improv, and Sunday was choreography. I didn't go to the Saturday, but my friend did, and there's a review at the end of the audio about the improv portion, which I heard was amazing. The choreography portion, it wasn't like, I'd never been to a workshop like that before. She kind of, like, set us all down and, like, got our dancer notebooks, and she, like, gave us a list of 16 ways to manipulate a motif, or I guess like a combo, or like a move like Maya's or something, and different ways to try that to get that to work with the choreography. And she got all this from a book called The Intimate Art of Choreography.
So was it a smaller workshop?
I would say there was about 30 people there.
Yeah, but that's a nice size for a workshop. Right. And
cool. She also said that she has a new blog up. It's rachelbryce.wordpress.com.
I will add it to my Google Reader because I add everything there. Thanks, Abby, for calling in and letting us know about the Rachel Bryce workshop. And also, we'll definitely link to your blog so everyone can listen to the interview with Rachel on costuming.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Abby.
Bye.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So that was cool. It was nice to talk to Abby again. And this is completely random, but you know what I thought of while we were listening to that? Is mylifeisaverage.com. I used to go to F My Life or like Text From Last Night. It's like little blips, but I'd go to like F My Life and I'd get like really depressed.
Oh, you're very emotionally swayed, Mary.
I know. I didn't used to be like this. I used to be much more cold, hard-hearted, unfeeling, sometimes little 140 character text message thingies really just slip through that shell I've got around my heart. Okay, moving on. So people send in these little blips of sort of celebrating the weird things that happen in the everyday.
I have one for you.
Oh, really? What is it?
Today, I asked the people in my row in law class if they heard a strange buzzing noise. After 5 minutes, I had 6 people agreeing that they heard it. There was no buzzing noise. My life is average.
I posted one as my Facebook status a couple days ago. I just realized that when you say the word beer can with a British accent, it sounds like bacon with a Jamaican accent. My life is average. Beer can. Bacon. Bacon. I said it for like 5 minutes straight.
Other than, I
can't really picture British people saying beer can. But if they did, they would suddenly briefly, if taken out of context, perhaps sound vaguely Jamaican, which
this one's really
made
funny.
Me laugh.
Today, I was driving down the road and saw 3 billboards. The first was a sign for a strip joint. The second, a sign for a church that said, "Have you sinned lately?" And thirdly, one for unplanned pregnancies. I laughed.
They just make me happy. Now, returning from our random detour to mylifeisaverage.com, I suggest you check it out.
Yeah, if you haven't noticed, this whole episode is random detours.
Just a big detour. We'd like to take the scenic route to get to our destination, which is the Alchemy interview with Mira Betts. We'd like to thank, by the way, all the Alchemy girls who helped us out with this. We weren't able to get to the Mira Betts workshop up there, so they very kindly volunteered their time. And they had some technical problems like all the way through, and they just
persevered.
Pushed through with great good humor, I might add. So thank you to Jeannie, Mari, and Brandy for hooking us up with the Mira interview girls. Thank you, Alchemy. So let's go.
This is Jeannie
and Mari
and Brandy of Alchemy Middle Eastern Dance Troupe of Augusta, Georgia. And we have with us today Mira Betts, who we hosted this weekend for Southern Mirage. Glad to have you with us, Mira.
Thank you for having me.
We wanted to have you this weekend because you're one of our favorite instructors. We love your classes, and we wanted to bring you to our area. Yip was unfortunately unable to be here this weekend, so they allowed us to be roving reporters for them and conduct the interview for them. They sent us a list of questions from Tammy and Mary, and we're going to see if we can pick your brain a little bit.
Thanks.
All right. Let's get started. Can you please tell us your website?
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. My website is miramania.com, and my name is Mira Betts.
All right. You currently have 3 and 5 day intensives where you cover not only technique, but history and finding one's artistic voice. What do you think is the most important for a new dancer to learn?
Well, the three day is a technique and ethics. And so you get a chance to get a little sweaty and get some good dance technique. But we also spend some time writing and discussing ethics on this dance. Not only historical stuff, but current issues in this dance, in hopes to uplift the art form. The 5 day intensive is a performance intensive, and we don't do any dance teaching technique, but we do a fair amount of dance exercises. It's sort of, I call it belly dance college. It's all the stuff that you don't really get to learn very much in classes. And it's all about being a powerful performer on stage and finding your own artistic voice, as you mentioned. And I do some ethics and history in there as well, because I find it to be very important. And we talk about, you know, choreography and working with people on stage and how to interact with the audience, lots of things. So it's very informative.
And they're pretty small class sizes, right?
Yes, I limit the class sizes very small because I'm not interested in a money racket. I want to make dancers better. And the best way for me to do that is to have very small class sizes and give a lot of individual attention. And part of that process is bringing in critique. So in the performance intensive, we do a fair amount of constructive criticism so that you can actually see your dance progress majorly within the span of a very short period of time. And I think this dance form is in need of good constructive criticism to help elevate the dance form both within our own community and also in the world at large.
I agree. Sounds like these are not for the faint of heart. These are intensives that are for somebody who is not necessarily a hobbyist, but somebody who really wants to become a more professional dancer.
Yeah, I think that 3-day ethics and technique is great for hobbyists, because I think even if this is your hobby, you should know about some of the history and some of the current issues so as not to perpetuate certain stereotypes and faux pas that have happened over the years within this dance, but actually take it to a level that can be really respected as an art form, just as painting is or ballet or anything else. So I think that's the performance intensive is intense. It's not physically intensive. It's emotionally and mentally stimulating and intense in that way. So I ask people to really dig into deep places and go to some hard places within themselves in order to find out who they are and who they want to be as a dancer and as a performer. And that can be very, very trying, but also really great and really, really exciting for me to be able to facilitate this. Getting people to be stronger, better people.
Yeah. Sounds like a wonderful opportunity for dancers. And I'm sure for you it's a different experience every time.
It's amazing, yeah. It's amazing to witness this. And it's hard. It takes a lot of energy to sort of hold the group and create the space and create a very safe space. That's also why I have the small numbers, is so we can create a really safe space for people to feel like they can really open up and go there. And then they create this amazing community within there. Too is, and that's part of the reason why I do these, is when you take it down to a small group and you get people really involved in each other's process and in each other's work, then it creates this global community, basically. Because over time, you might not see that person for 3-5 years. I mean, some people live very far away, but when you run into them again, it's like you see your sister and their love and their tears, and you know, and people are keeping contact with each other, and they've started private tribes where they start giving critique for each other for videos and asking each other professional questions. So it's gone on beyond the life of the intensive, which is the relationships have, and that's what I really want to create in this community, is just more positive relationships between the women, cut down on the insecure
bickering, cattiness. Sounds great, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like, when can we sign up?
We look like bobbleheads. All our heads are like naughty.
Yeah, naughty. That sounds great.
Yes.
That is true. One of the things you talked about in your 5-day intensive is you learn how to relate to each other on stage and relate to other dancers. And you've had the opportunity to collaborate with other artists. Do you prefer collaboration or solo work?
I love them both.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like solo work because I can really just do my own thing and do my vision and whatever comes out. And I primarily work, every solo I ever do pretty much is improv. I love collaboration with other artists because it gives me a chance to create something new and work. I love collaborating with artists that are unsuspected that they would ever see us together. Like I did in last spring, I worked with Ariella, which was really great. I had a really great time working. And I'm planning to work with some big cabaret stars maybe this fall. So we'll see if it goes through. But I just really, and you know, I collaborate a lot with Elizabeth Strong and Zoe Jakes, and I've danced with those girls for a long time, probably over 9 years or something.
Oh.
10 almost maybe. So I love coming back together. And also I feel like on the dance circuit, when you're at these festivals, you keep running into a lot of the same teachers. So that's when I approach them and go, hey, let's do something together. Because if we keep ending up the same festivals, then we can just do this whenever we get together and be fun. So I love doing that.
How do you approach choreography? I know you said when it's solo work, you do a lot of improvisation. But do you start with an idea, let the music move you? Do your choreography tell a story? Or are you just dancing to a mood? Or
yes, Yes. Yes and yes.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Next question. Like, for your guys' show this weekend, you gave me a theme. Mm-hmm. So then I start with the theme and the character and the story. And then from there, I work it into a dance and find music that really would portray that, the mood of that character and what I feel like they're going through. So I very much work for character in that way. A lot of times I find a piece of music and I just hear it and I have to dance to it. And I usually only try to pick music to dance to that I love, 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 love. Like, it just, I can't sit still when that piece of music is on. Because I want my dance to come from sort of this internal need to move rather than putting your moves on top of this piece of music. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's one of my beefs with a lot of dancers these days is it's kind of like a sideshow spectacle. Mm-hmm. They just choose a piece of music that allows them to show off their best moves all in one piece, yeah, all at once. Yeah. And for me, it's not about that at all. Sometimes I dance and I barely do anything intricate at all, which I'm sure is not great for my career, but I feel like it's what that piece of music asked for. Mm-hmm. So in very much I'm connected that way with the music. And then, was there anything else? Music, idea? Sometimes I have an idea, like I'll have a dream or a vision. Mm-hmm. When I collaborated with Ultra Gypsy for one of their shows, I had this dream, and it was this woman, and she's in this giant hoop skirt, and it's a piece about vanity, and she's getting older, basically, and looking in the mirror and putting on this makeup and just, like, watching her. It's just like watching the years and the beauty fade, and it kind of struck me as a dancer, too, because I feel like that's an issue for a lot of us as we get older, is just, like, you know, watching that beauty and that and the source of it crumble before you and not having any ability to stop or slow or anything.
Yeah.
And so I did a piece about that with them. So that started from that vision.
Along with that, you may feel that you've already answered this. Where do you find inspiration for your dance?
Everywhere. Everywhere. I find it crossing the street. I find it looking at paintings. I find it walking in nature, watching a hummingbird drink flower, like everything. I just watch everything around me, and anything that strikes me, I try to find some way to incorporate it, you know, and not directly, like I'm not going to be a bird. but, you know, indirect connections and making them viable and how they would fit into a dance. I think nature is really powerful for that, as I said. I think music and a lot of other dance, kind of like my favorite show is So You Think You Can Dance. Love that.
Which is what I thought of when you said hummingbird, because they had a hummingbird piece.
Oh, the seasons ago. You don't know how many of my ideas they do on that show. I'm like, are they reading my diary? Because this is ridiculous.
I'm getting tired of stealing my stuff. I'm going
to start asking for some money.
That's right. Some royalties for So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah. It makes me feel like a little bit of a phony. All truth be known. Oh, yeah, come on. Those dancers are so amazing. They're so well-trained, and they're so young.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just couldn't ever hope to be like that. It's a different dance style, obviously. I mean, if you got him in there and made him try to do belly dance, we'd probably all have a good laugh. But, like, you know, for what they do, it's incredible.
It is.
And they do it in such a short amount of time.
How do you think having a theatrical background has helped your dancing and performance?
Oh, incredibly. Mm-hmm. Incredibly, yeah. Actually, a lot of my background in theater is what I use in the performance intensive, because I feel like it's undertrained in the belly dance. We're performers. We're on stage. We should have that sort of understanding and basic knowledge. And so I feel like I think sometimes I lean on it too hard. I should probably dance a little bit more and emote a little less. But, I think that it makes for a very strong performer to have any sort of theater background.
What other forms of dance influence your style?
Tango. I did modern and jazz when I was younger, but I was never very good at them. I was kind of a tomboy.
We hear you reference all sorts of Latin dance in classes, like merengue and salsa.
Oh, yeah. I used to teach salsa for a while, so I have all that movement base in me. Mm-hmm. I think definitely the Latin dances. Flamenco to a certain degree. I take flamenco classes to keep myself humble. Because I'm so I'm so bad. It's so hard, you know?
Who are some of the dancers that you look up to?
I have to, of course, mention my teacher, Katharina Berta. I look up to her still very much. She was my primary teacher for over 10 years. I love watching Bojenka and Amar Gamal. I think that they're incredibly beautiful, talented, skilled dancers and good performers, too. Suhaila, obviously, for the technique, she's amazing. It's not just style, like, as you can see, they're mostly cabaret for me. It's also, like, personality, too. I feel like if they're an honorable person, then I think humility is really attractive to me in dancers. And I think in terms of my peer dancers, I think Amy Sigil is doing amazing things. I think Heather Stance is doing, I mean, obviously these are so, it's kind of the run-of-the-mill list, you know? I'm just, of course, that we all know they're very amazing.
Who would you like to take workshops with? What instructors would you like to study with?
I would love to take some classes with Aziza of Montreal. I think she's amazing. Tamara Dalal is amazing. She's got such a wonderful wealth of knowledge. Amel Tasfut, I would love to take some classes with her on some of the Moroccan, traditional Moroccan dances. It's mostly old school.
When do you ever get to take those classes? Do you get to?
I don't really. Yeah. Because when I find myself at the same event as the people, and I'm like, yay, and I try to take their class, and either I'm teaching, or, you know, I've taught for 6 hours that day, and I'm exhausted, or, you know, some workshops don't allow the workshop teachers to take other workshops. Some do, so it just depends on where you are. Yeah, I know. I want to seek them out for privates.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite musical artists, since we were talking about your favorite dance artists? What are some of your favorite musical artists?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's funny. The gypsy music is really a craze right now, the Eastern European music, which is good. I really love that. I've been dancing and listening to that music since I first started dancing. My teacher was really into Eastern European stuff. So for me, I've been listening to this stuff for almost 20 years. And then all of a sudden it comes really into pop. And I'm like, is that good or bad? I don't know. I'm such a counterculture person. I tend to always want to be swimming upstream. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but love that music. So I listen to a lot of Balkan music. And I love some of the new stuff that's mixing Balkan with American styles, like, you know, Balkan Beatbox or Slavic Soul Party. Brass Menagerie is really great from San Francisco. I love Dan Cantrell is a wonderful composer. He's one of the composers and musicians with the Toids, which is a very popular group right now. But he's, like, his music is amazing. I dance to that a lot. I love Helm, you know. Old school. I've been dancing with them since I was a baby dancer. There's so many. I can't even. Goton Project is amazing. They're like a fusion tango thing, and I could go on and on and on.
Forever.
Yeah.
Was your portrayal of a jellyfish the strangest performance you have done, and who made that amazing costume?
Oh, it was strange.
I guess it's like, it's who you ask.
No, by far, that was not the strangest performance I've ever done. Do you want to hear about the strangest one?
Yeah.
Okay.
First, let us know who made that costume. Did you make that costume?
Yeah, I make all my costumes, yeah. I have one costume recently that I collaborated with Black Lotus, but mostly I make all my own costumes.
Okay. So if the jellyfish wasn't your strangest, what was your strangest?
Well, I was into Buteau for a long time. Actually, Buteau is one of my other influences of dance. I'm really into it, and I've taken some classes. I did an extended period at one point a few years back. So those are always nice and strange. And then recently, I did a little improv duet with Alyssa Pohl from Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so tired. I'd been teaching all day. No, it was the end of my intensive in Lexington. And so I'd been teaching all week for like 30 hours. And I was exhausted, and they were having a hafla on a Monday night. And I was like at her apartment, and I was in this jelly heap on a couch, and I was like, I don't want to go, I'm so tired. And she was like, come on, we're going to go, let's dress up, you know, so to get energy. So it's like, okay, so she opens up her costume thing, and she starts pulling, you can wear this and this and this, and I'm like, no, I don't want to. So then she just starts putting them on, like, every costume piece in her thing, you know? And then I got inspired. So I looked in my suitcase, and it was every single piece of clothing that I hadn't worn yet on the trip, including dance ones and rose hips. And then, like, she had this crazy bonnet that I put on, and we had on multiple clothes upon clothes, and she had on, like, this crazy hula skirt as hair, and she had on leather pants as her jacket, and she had on, like, this crazy silver skirt with knee pads stuck all over it. And we arrived at the hospital like that, and everybody's like, ah, I had a funny costume. And we're just like baking in like layers and layers of clothing. And we're sitting there just like, somebody gave me a card to thank me, and I was like, thank you, that's so sweet.
Fan,
you know. So Alyssa comes up to me and she's like, okay, I realize that the only way we're going to be able to get out of these costumes gracefully is if we do a piece. And I was like, okay. So she was like, you know, she took my intensive, so we had kind of the same lingo, and we're like, okay, we'll develop our character, go take 5 minutes to develop your character, and we'll play off each other's characters. So it's kind of like what we're doing today in class with it. Improv, but doing different things, but keeping the person in field of vision and mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this wild piece where I was like this scared little mouse rabbit that was shaking with a bonnet on, and she was like this wild monster that was getting out all this anger, and I was like shaking, and then we danced, and I was all timid, and at one point I'm like crawling across people in the audience, and she's got my legs, and she's yanking me across the stage, and we like at the end of it we die, and we're like kind of twitching, just like dead, and everybody's quiet, and it goes on quiet for a really long time, and the live drummers are like like, should we keep drumming, looking at it like, are they done, you know? And then finally they kind of pitter out and stop, and we're just laying there, nobody's clapped, and you're just breathing, I'm like breathing hard, and my face is on the floor so I can't see,
and you're burning up in the costume,
it's completely quiet, and we're burning up, and this little girl's voice goes, mommy, I want to go home, I'm scared. And I was like, oh no. But it was awesome because I got to do a performance, so I didn't have to be pretty belly dancer with technique and everything. We just got to be like, bleh. And it turned out she got so hot that it was patent leather, like fake leather.
Mm-hmm.
The pants were actually melted on her back. She got so hot, she melted the plastic.
Wow,
that's a performance.
Whoa. Yeah,
no wonder the little girl was scared. She's not wearing plastic on the stage. She's like, uh-oh. It's
gone. Yeah, I think she posted some pictures. They're hilarious. It's so funny.
That's awesome. If you weren't belly dancing, what would you be doing?
Painting? Yeah, I'd be in a little hole in my studio painting away.
Can you give us your best yip?
Yip, yip, yip!
That's it, we're done.
Tag it.
Yay!
We survived.
What about the other yip?
Yes, make up. I guess we should all yip.
We can.
Yip! Yeah!
So how did you like the Mira Betts interview? I thought our roving reporters did fantastic.
I tell you, the first time I listened to the story at the end, I almost cried. It was so funny when she's talking about like being dragged around the floor
and scaring the child.
Oh my god. I thought it was hysterical.
And thanks, Mira, for being such a good sport.
Yes. Yeah.
So, what else you got for us music-wise, Mary?
So the second group I'm really excited about. I was on Tribe and I went to the Ashara Tribe, and this is going to sound convoluted. I apologize ahead of time. Maduro had posted a thread on the Ashara Tribe because he'd seen a blurb about Ashara on another DC dancer's blog. And the name of the other DC dancer is Alexis Michelle. We will link to the blurb. Well, the little blurb is just like, Ashar is amazing. She's such a good technical dancer. She's, you know, got such amazing musicality and all kinds of other awesome things. And there was a YouTube video attached to the blog from Spring Caravan where Ashar was in May of this very year, 2009, in case you're not sure, you just woke up from a coma or something. One of the songs that she was dancing to was by Ginormous, and I really, really liked the song. It was really, really cool. So I bought the most recent Ginormous album called At Night Under Artificial Light, which I thought sounded very poetic. It came out in August of last year, so it's pretty recent. I really like this CD. It's electronic music. I don't even really want to say that it's on the darker side. I mean, it's got a lot of the industrial sounds that tend to evoke sort of a darker vibe or a darker reaction by someone who's trying to interpret the music. But what I like is that the songs seem to be more multifaceted than just, okay, this is an angry song, or this is a sad song, or this is a lonely song. It paints more of a picture and a story in my mind than a lot of electronic music does. The three songs we are going to listen to, the first is Awakening the Magpie in All of Us. That is my current favorite. My favorite keeps changing, so who knows if it's my favorite now. The second we're going to hear is From Deep Boreholes. And mainly, other than me liking this song, I mainly picked it because it made me think of boreworms from Flash Gordon. I've really got Flash Gordon on the brain. Has anyone else seen that movie? Flash! Oh, not the boreworms! Oh. Anyway, sorry. And the third song we're going to hear is Coiled So Tightly, which is the song that was in the Ashara video.
Really like number three, Coiled So Tightly.
I knew you would. I mean, and you have to watch the video because really, really good. And I will have to say that I totally agree with Alexis Michelle as far as Ashara's musicality and interpretation goes. I think, you know, she really caught a lot of the nuances, and she'd switch from sort of one layer to a different layer, which I always find really, really cool.
Oh, she's a beautiful dancer.
Tammy, what is going on around town?
I'm so glad you asked, Mary.
Me too.
Well, actually, I'm going to just pop over into the new year.
Do it.
Pop.
Pop. Yay.
Yeah. January 7th through 10th is a Third Coast Tribal, www.thirdcoasttribal.us. That is held in Fort Worth, Texas. Rose Harden will be instructing, the Mesmer Society, Ariella, Cami Little, and Urban Gypsy are just a few of the instructors there. I heard that's a really big event. You know, Michelle, who is local here to Orlando, who does henna, she teaches out there as well. She teaches henna workshops out there.
Really?
In February 8th through the 13th, Hip Expressions is hosting a belly dance party cruise. That's www.hip/expressions.com. I'm not sure how many rooms are available. They were closed off at one point, and then they opened up more spaces, so you would just want to check out their website. They're going from Tampa, they're going to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, so all different areas of Mexico. So fun. And then, of course, February 25th through the 28th is TribalCon, www.tribalcon.com. That is in Decatur, Georgia. Arielle is going to be there. Ashara, who we mentioned earlier, will be there. Mega, Heather Stance, Donna Mejia.
Ah, TribalCon. I love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed the one that I went to.
Yes. I as well enjoyed the one that we went to.
So right now, that's all I have for Around Town events. For more Around Town events, you can go to our website, www.yippodcast.com, and you can join our mailing list. I send out a weekly mailing list on Around Town events, so yay for that. if you have events you'd like to either have listed in our newsletter or on our tribe or our website, or just, you know, we can mention it during our podcast. That's a novel idea. You can email us at email@yippodcast.com. You can Skype us at yippodcast. You can leave us a message at 321-441-3933. And of course, join our tribe at tribes.tribe.net/yippodcast. So thanks for joining us for another fun-filled episode of Yip Podcast.
So much fun.
This has been Tammy.
And this has been Mary.
Yip! So anyway, obviously, Mary and I must go to bed. We must go. Yeah. For sleeping, Mary, for sleeping.
You don't want to shirk your duties. That's all I have to say about that. I just said duty.